This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Bay 4 o'clock on your Thursday afternoon. The top four at four this afternoon brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Jake Miller.
Number one, the NBA draft is set to take place tonight. Former Vols Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer are expected to go in first round in most mock drafts. Eve Pons also has a chance of being drafted in the second round.
Big night for a couple of guys. Man, I hope somebody takes a flyer on Keon early in this draft. I know I'm biased here, but that shot is going to get better, man. That handle is going to get better. He is going to be an excellent NBA player. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are looking back on tonight who don't take him. You know some of these guys are going to be busts. I don't think he's going to be one. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking back saying, man, I wish we had used our first-round pick in 2021 on Keon Johnson.
Number two, Suni Lee wins gold for the U.S. in the gymnastics all-around competition at the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah, Bear, I got to defer to you here, buddy. I did not watch. Don't know who that is. Go USA, I guess.
Yeah, she almost didn't go to the Olympics. Had a lot of family issues, lost apparently several family members to COVID, and had some physical problems. But just a great story how she stepped up in Simone Biles' absence and won gold in the individual all around.
Fantastic.
Great story.
And number three, Hall of Fame coach Steve Spurrier took to the Orlando Sentinel on Texas jumping to the SEC with the headline quote of, "They can't win the Big 12 anyway."
The HBC still got it.
Head ball, coach. Coming at you.
Still got his fastball, Bear.
Always.
And number
coach.
Number four, all-star slugger Joey Gallo's trade to the New York Yankees from the Texas Rangers was completed today, giving the heavily right-handed Yankees a much-needed powerful lefty at bat.
How are Yankees doing this year, Bear?
Best we'll finish is probably third in the East, but they need to fire that manager and just start over.
So, not great.
No. Definitely nothing to write home about.
All right, well, hopefully things turn out better there. That is the top four at four, brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Check them out online at cnbtn.com. Citizens National Bank now offering free checking accounts. Yeah, free checking, free internet banking, free bill paying, free e-statements. No minimum balance requirement with extended evening hours and Saturday banking available at specific branches. There is sure to be a Citizens National Bank branch near you. For that branch, call CNB or I'm sorry, visit cnbtn.com or call 865-453-9031. Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines this afternoon, where Barrett Salee of CBS Sports is standing by. Barrett, good afternoon. Long time no talk. How you been, man?
Oh, I'm good. Not much happening in the world of college athletics these days, is there?
Yeah, I don't even know why we're having you on, quite frankly. I mean, there's just not much to talk about. What was it like at SEC Media Days last week when that story broke?
It was, honestly, it was comparable to Manziel Mania in 2013 when he allegedly overslept at the Manning Passing Academy. It was a lot like when Philip Fulmer was subpoenaed in the turnaround there in the front. But it was wild. It was kind of a down media days up until that point. Even Saban, who had just gone, kind of dodged the Bryce Young seven figures question, And then, man, everything changed in a hurry.
Oh, man, who says SEC Media Days has lost its fastball? And by the way, I understand we're waiting. The SEC is expected to be voting right now, I believe, on whether or not they're going to accept Oklahoma and Texas. So I know you might have to run. If that breaks, just let me know, and we understand you got to go right. But that's where we're at right now, is the SEC is voting on whether or not to accept Texas and Oklahoma, and this is a mere formality, I would imagine, correct?
Yeah, it's a mere formality. Every single possible vote is 14-0 in the SEC. I remember one time Georgia voted against its own proposal to make a 14-0 ruling. So yeah, it's going to be unanimous. That's just the way these things go. And I would imagine if you're talking about any objection to this, it will be behind closed doors and not many people will know about it. So yeah, it's going to be 14-0. It's as good as done. And I'm excited to see what the next steps are, because apparently the Big 12 is meeting on, I guess, tomorrow about where they go from here. So plenty of moving parts, never a dull moment these days.
Yeah, the Big 12 is big mad. What do you think is going on there? Do you believe the SEC's position that, hey, we didn't seek this out? Texas and Oklahoma, it just fell into our lap. Or do you think this was more of a mutual courtship, perhaps even orchestrated by the folks at ESPN?
Plausible deniability is always good for any situation like this. Sure, it was 100% orchestrated by ESPN. That's just they feel like their product would be better if Texas and Oklahoma entered the SEC as soon as possible, and it's happening as soon as possible. So, I think it was orchestrated, and the idea that the Big 12 is going to go down kicking and screaming, that's not surprising, because they feel like they still have a sustainable product that can be attractive. I don't know if that's accurate, but they also want to save themselves, and if they're going to save themselves, they need that buyout money, the exit money from Oklahoma and from Texas. So they're going down swinging. There's no doubt about it, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days, because man, this just, it never ends in this conference. It never ends in this sport.
Talking with Barrett Salee of CBS Sports this afternoon on The Drive. And Barrett, there seems to be some, the apprehension from Texas A&M seems to center around, Texas, there's this weird thing about the Longhorns, the amount of power and influence they've wielded going back to the old Southwest Conference days in the past has caused some people to hesitate to jump into bed with this program. How much influence do you think they will have in the SEC?
They're going to try to have a ton. There is no doubt about that. But I think in the SEC, it's going to be a little different. Just because of how, like we talked about, every vote's 14-0. So there's a unified stance. There's a consensus that is held true for a very long time that a rising tide floats all boats. So there's no doubt they're going to try. There's no doubt they're going to try to be the power of the SEC behind closed doors. There is zero chance that actually happens. So they'll get brought back down to reality really quickly. The idea that they can come in and they're going to be difficult to deal with, I don't see it. I think to me that happens in the Big 12. It's their mindset just in general, but it's not going to continue.
Do you think that this is going to happen? No way they wait till 2025. That league is on life support as we speak, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's on life support. I think that right now they're just trying to figure out where to go. They were caught so off guard by this. They don't have a real plan at this point. So, they were 2025 is still that's a pipe dream. If the Big 12 lasts that long, I'd be floored, whether it's a combination of teams breaking off to the Pac-12 or the American, or the Big 12 and the American coming together, or Big 12 and the Pac-12 coming together, or whatever. It will not be a conference at that point. So this whole thing, especially last night with the AAC, was all in an attempt to make that buyout money that Texas and Oklahoma oh, the Big 12 irrelevant. And the one way you do that, the best way to do that is to completely kill the conference, and therefore that money would not be able to be given to anybody. So that's the idea. That's the plan. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen in 2025. I was always under the assumption 2023, but after everything that happened yesterday, I'm now stuck on 2022.
You know, it's interesting. When this first happened, all the speculation was on, well, what's, you know, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, like these are the schools that have most to offer from a football perspective as far as getting into an expanded college football playoff. But it feels like the thinking might be shifting as the Big Ten. I mean, we're starting to hear rumblings of the California schools being in play and maybe just a complete realignment of college football as we know it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different options on where that goes from here, whether that be the SEC just trying to lead the charge to create a massive super conference, which would fill a void that the NCAA looked when the NCAA basically announced that it was stepping aside and stepping back from all of this. It could be more of like an AFC-NFC deal. It could be, you know, different conferences merged together. There are a variety of different things that could happen. We all sort of thought that the Power Five or the Autonomous Five would break off at some point and become its own entity, and that's where we're headed. That's where we are right now. But it's just not necessarily going the same exact way that a lot of people thought, myself included, with an entire conference being broken up because of Texas and Oklahoma's decision to leave. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
What about the playoff expansion? I mean, we had all sort of wrapped our minds around this new 12-team model. Is that essentially put on hold for the time being while all this stuff sorts it out, or is there a way to move forward there?
I can't imagine the playoff happening in 2023, which would be the first of the last three-year cycle. So you're not going to have the playoff the first year that they said it was a possibility. I just don't see how that's possible. And if that's the case, then I would imagine you finish out the entire cycle through 2025, unless you give massive breaks to the bowls that would have their deals cut short, their semifinals erased if the deal gets torn up. So, yeah, I just don't see how you can have a playoff with all these moving parts right now. And I think they regret even giving 2023 as an option right now, because it did give a lot of people the idea that that was for sure the date that it's going to happen, the year that's going to happen. And it's just, it can't happen right now. There's just no way.
Talking with Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, this afternoon. Barrett, last topic, we'll let you run here. Just your thoughts on Josh Heupel here in Knoxville at Tennessee. Obviously, it's another just complete do-over for the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think I like Josh. I think that he didn't come off very well at media days just because he's kind of a outspoken, kind of low-key dude. I like the fact that he can coach offense. He has a lot of different weapons around him this year. I like the idea of using a mobile quarterback, which I think they've certainly got certain options there. Defensively, they got some issues, but you know, they're going to want to score points. They want to build that thing like the Oklahoma of the SEC, score 30, 35 points a game, and then go from there. So I like it long term, but the talent gap is still pretty significant.
And obviously, the NCAA cloud that's hung over Knoxville for the past 7 or 8 months is not showing any signs of dissipating anytime soon. If you're Tennessee, if you're in Tennessee's shoes, given everything that's going on with the NCAA, their waning influence as college sports governing body, is Tennessee doing the right thing by being so cooperative, or do you think that they should try to take a page out of the North Carolina LSU playbook and essentially keep the NCAA at an arm's length and try to run out the clock on their case?
It's a really good question. I would say run the clock out. The NCAA can't do anything right now. Their only way to be influential in college athletics is through enforcement. So I would try to run the clock out until they completely are irrelevant, because they are. The investigative branch and the enforcement branch is going to be taken over by whatever entity comes in, whether that's the SEC or some sort of newfangled oversight committee or whatever. But I would just try to run the clock out, and the NCAA punishes Tennessee. I'd appeal it and appeal it and appeal it, and that way you do run the clock out.
Mm. That 4 minute offense, it's critical, Barrett. You got to keep that clock moving. Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. Barrett, we'll be looking for your report later on if the SEC announces later today. Always a pleasure. Thanks for jumping on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Barrett Salee, CBS Sports. You can go follow him on Twitter at Barrett Salee. Bear, your thoughts on Barrett's appearance today on the show?
I mean, the thing that jumps out at me more than anything was right there at the end. Excuse me. We need to run out the clock. I mean, the NCAA has been declawed and defanged.
Yeah, I've really come around on that. At first I kind of saw where Tennessee was thinking, and really it was just we got to get rid of Pruitt thing for me and just like take your medicine, whatever. But as we've put some distance behind it, and you got a new coach, and you're getting a new season, and you're trying to move on.
We need a clean slate.
Well, that, and Heupel's got enough problems to deal with as it is.
Yeah.
And look,
the talent gap, like Barrett said.
Well, and if you're talking about scholarship restrictions, we've already lost 20 guys to the portal. Now, half of those dudes couldn't play, but we lost some really nice pieces. And that's going to
lost our best players.
That's going to hamstring us for a number of years here. And I would just be, you know, look, they're already going down this road. You heard David Ubben earlier in the week. It sounds like they're going to announce a self-imposed type deal here in the next couple of weeks, sometimes before the season kicks off. But I would limit it to the lightest of slaps on the wrist, and I would tell the NCAA to take it or leave it. And if they want to fight, then you put your guard up like LSU's done and just deny till you die, obstruct, obstruct, obstruct. And Barrett's right. I mean, they're not going to be around much longer as a governing force of college football. The SEC is going to have to figure out something else to do. Greg Sankey's probably already thought of this. There's going to be another system in place. And I think if you're Tennessee, if you're LSU, if you're Arizona basketball, if you're whoever, Auburn, you're out there kind of waiting these things out, I think that you just wipe the slates clean and say, listen, the bygones would be bygones, from Will Wade's strong-ass offer to Jeremy Pruitt's McDonald's bags full of cash. We're just going to pretend like none of that happened. Here are the new rules going forward, and here's what's going to happen if you run afoul of them. It's not going to be a 2 or 3 year process. We're going to expedite things, and we're going to run things the way they should have been run for the past 10 years, and we're all on the same page here.
Exactly.
But there's no reason to fall on a sword and impale yourself and just further hamstring Josh Heupel and his efforts to revive this program. Take a quick timeout. Open up the phone lines to you. 865-546-8200. We are open lines the rest of the way here, folks. And our friends at Blue Water, I believe, are about to have us fixed up air conditioning-wise. We got some fans. This fan is just right on me. It feels fantastic. So I could go all afternoon, folks, but you don't want to hear me rant. You don't want to hear Bear scream and shout. You might want to hear Jake Miller. You don't know him well that yet, but trust me, I've gotten to know him a little bit. You don't want to hear him for an hour and a half. Call in and let's talk it out. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Like it or not, social media is welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear cruising along with you. Jake Miller answering the phones today. 865-546-8200. Got a Ricker Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you. The poll is in the field. What are your thoughts on Josh Heupel as head coach of the Vols so far? I'll give you four choices. Excellent. Growing on me. Meh. or terrible? What do you think, Bear? Excellent? Growing on me? Meh. Or terrible?
Is this hypo?
Yes.
Er hypo. I'll go with the middle one.
Which one?
I'm withholding judgment until we see. I'm really excited to see the offense. It's something that we've been chafing and pissy about and itching about for, God, I don't know how many years now. We wanted to see Tennessee with a high-powered offense. When we were at our best in the 90s and into the 2000s, at any moment on any play, we expected to score touchdowns. And I think hopefully with Heupel, we're going to get back to that, where we're a very, very dangerous offensive team, and at any moment we might light you up and go all the way. And it's been lacking around here for a long time.
I'm going to put you down for growing on me.
Yeah, growing on me.
24 votes cast, less than 1% of precincts reporting. Nobody has voted excellent yet. It's kind of alarming. 62.5% of the audience says growing on me. 33.3% say eh. And 4.2% say terrible. Jake Miller, what say you?
I'd say he's growing on me.
Growing on you? Okay.
Yeah. Wasn't too confident at first, and watch spring game, see a little bit more of the stuff coming through the summer with recruiting. It's like, okay, all right, making a few moves here. Could be worse.
Could be worse. I don't hate it. It all just boils back down to this, is Tennessee fans are tired of projecting, right? We're tired of projecting 2 or 3 years in the future. Oh, if this guy, you just give him some time to change the culture, get his players in here, change the coaching staff, let the defense or the offense catch up, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We're over it. We're over it. We've heard all this before. We want to win. We just want to win. Nobody's expecting miracles in year one. Nobody's expecting a win over Alabama right away. But, by God, we just want to be decent out there. We want to be competent. We want to look engaged all the time. Just don't embarrass us, man.
We just don't want to be a joke.
Don't want to be a joke. Tired of being laughed at.
Come out of the tunnel ready to play.
Go.
That was my biggest beef with that peanut butter eating gump.
Here we go.
We're never ready to play. I'm working up to a pretty good rant here.
All right.
I mean, just everything about him. Our team sucked. We were never ready to play. Came out of the tunnel just, you know, half-assed.
Are you ready to admit? You ready to admit he's worse than Botch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, Botch was Botch, but, I mean, Botch had some big wins. He just couldn't get out of his own way. He just Botch's insecurities and psychological issues hamstrung him. If he didn't have those, Botch could probably win an SEC.
I would love to see, I would pay a month's salary just to see Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and Jeremy Pruitt on Jeopardy. As long as Dooley got a $2,000, like everybody else got a $2,000 head start. Maybe five, maybe 10.
Oh, Dooley would still win.
Dooley beat him head to head.
Twerked that boy.
He did beat
Granted,
Botch.
He had, you know, arguably one of the most gifted, physically talented receivers that had ever played here.
Yeah, he was at Tennessee and Botch was at Cincinnati, man.
Cincinnati.
People, people wanted to pin that on Botch for years, like going all the way back to before he even coached a game, like in 2013. We hired a guy that Dooley beat. And it's like, yeah, but come on, man. That's not fair. You know it. He's coaching at this Big East school back then against an SEC school that at that time was not that far removed from. When was that game here? Was that in 2012?
That was 2011.
2011.
Didn't they have Travis Kelce on that team too?
I think Derek Wolfe might have been on that team.
Botch had Travis Kelce on that team?
Pretty sure he did.
But
hey, I'm getting blown up here.
In that year, 4 years prior to 2011, we were in the SEC championship game, right? So that's not – people say, well, you say Cincinnati probably beat Tennessee. Yeah, now, but back in 2011, there was still a significant gulf between the teams. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. All right, let's keep things rolling here this afternoon. D.R. Ball is up first. What's up, D.R. Ball?
What's going on, guys? Y'all seeing white spots in there yet?
Man, my wife brought some fans down here, and I've just got it, like, just blowing right on me, man, just bathed in not cold but cool air.
Mrs. S. brought some fans down there?
Yeah, she did. Lifesaver.
Well, let's take a moment to celebrate her.
I do every single day.
She always comes through for the drive.
Yep.
She puts up with you.
Russ, happy belated birthday. I didn't realize it was your birthday yesterday. You know, you're talking about the Big Lebowski. I watched an interview with the three main characters. And Steve, how do you say his last name? Steve Buscemi, I think. He said that when he read the script, he wasn't going to take it until the very end when, you know, they were finally nice to Donnie as he's dying.
Yeah.
He said he just didn't get it, which I guess the only time he's nice, Walter's nice to Donnie, is when he's, what, telling him, no, these men are cowards right before they get in the fight.
Yeah.
Fights his ear off.
We got help choppering in, dude. No shots fired. Bear, I thought about Bear a lot because he is such he's such a combination of Walter and the dude. he's pure Walter and the dude, man. I mean, it's just half mindless violence and half mindless pacifism. I'm saying this as a compliment. I know it sounds like I'm tearing you down, Bear, but
I appreciate it. Russ, I love that movie, and Walter is he's one of my favorite characters.
He's one of your inspirations. Walter Sobchak, great movie character.
Yeah, I mean, so it makes me feel like I'm not crazy, guys.
So Walter always bringing up Vietnam. What would Bear's thing be, Catholic football?
I didn't watch
Tennessee in the 90s.
Maryville, get all the calls in the Butch Bowl. Shout out to Catholic in Maryville. Big scrimmage tomorrow night at the Butch Bowl.
I love how you're always all about covering Catholic football when we're going through rebuilding, but when we're not,
let me go through a rebuilding.
If we're talking basketball, you don't want to talk about it.
Well, you got like three D1 prospects on the team.
We got a freshman court. We lost our four borderline five-star quarterback. They moved to Baltimore with this old man.
I don't know. I half expect D.R. Vall to hear about this time tomorrow afternoon that Catholic won't be able to participate in the scrimmage. They have some contact tracing or something.
Oh, there's going to be COVID outbreak. Here's my question for the day, guys. I saw where Greg Emerson committed to Memphis. What happens to these kids? Because last I heard, there's still over 1,000 people in the transfer portal. What happens when the season starts and they're still in the portal? Is their career over, or are they considered like a free agent, like somebody's defense lineman gets hurt, so they'll just pick somebody out of the transfer portal?
It's a good question. I don't know. Logic to me would say that you're just sort of in limbo and that you still got that year of eligibility and that you're in there as long as you want to be, right?
Well, so basically, because some guys, you know, they didn't know their worth. Some of them, I guess their career will be over, won't it?
Yeah, some guy. I'm 30 years old. I've been in the transfer portal for 10 years now. Nobody's picked me up, but I'm staying in shape just in case I get that call. I'll be ready.
Guys, y'all have a good day.
Thank you, D.R. Vall. You too. The permanent transfer portal. Just get in there. Nobody's calling. Just keep working out, man. Stay loose. Get ready. There will be somebody eventually who's spends like 2 or 3 years in the portal. Maybe they're coming off an injury or something, a bad ACL or something, you know, and it takes 2 years to get over instead of just 9 months or whatever the
right
quote unquote normal passage of time is. Get a more mature, seasoned player at that point, I guess.
25-year-old sophomore.
865-546-8200. Let's get Phil in here next. Phil, you're on the drive. What's up, Philly?
How you bearing, Jack the Snake doing?
Doing well, thanks.
You a little hot in studio?
What did our guy say, by the way? Should I take this information off the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not hot in studio?
No, I mean, we've got it cooled off, these fans. Like, I'm okay. We had somebody came by to talk to us about it, and I had to send Jake out of studio to talk to the guy. He walks out of there shirtless. Did it occur to you? I was motioning. I was like, go out there, talk to the guy. And then I did, like, a put-your-shirt-on gesture. This probably looks ridiculous.
You know how many times I did that growing up? Dude, I'm from Campbell County. We went outside. Anybody that was outside, you walk outside, you got your shirt off.
Well, yeah, I understand. Yeah, you go outside to greet your friend. But, I mean, this is a place of business. We've got people out there.
When it gets above 95, those rules go out the window.
I don't want to see you hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit, Jake. You know, one of the overtime guys, a little bit shy. He walked around. His chest was so hairy. I didn't understand what to do. It was kind of weird. I felt very uncomfortable.
This fat Native American guy just came out, and there it was.
So what's that dumb question you was asking again?
What are you doing, Phil? What are you doing?
Hopple hadn't even played a game yet. Why are we asking the question? I mean,
just get in the feel for the guy.
We lost a recruit to Miami today. I mean, so things are going great, ain't they?
I heard they kind of took a pass on that kid.
Did they?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, they really don't need receivers, do they? They need some defensive backs.
Need some DBs. They need a lot of things.
Need some running backs.
I'm going to put Phil down in the meh category for right now.
I want to see something, because I think once if this offense is good, everybody says it's going to be, then they'll be able to recruit to it. But who knows? I mean, fake goat being quarterback sure ain't an answer, though. I can tell you that right now.
Who?
Meyer. Ain't worth a crap.
Oh, yeah. Come on here and just lambast poor Brian Maurer. He's probably out there working out right now, that or getting a new tattoo. And here's Phil just jumping on the radio locally and just blasting Porky. He's like 20 years old, Phil. What's wrong with you?
You can either play or you can't. I mean, we've already seen a sample size of it, haven't we?
Well, he's not going to be the guy. I think we all know that, right? It's going to be – it's a three-man race and really probably a two-man race and really probably a one-man race. If Joe Milton – can demonstrate that he has a decent grasp of the offense and he's not just going to throw into coverage JG style all willy-nilly, it's going to be his job.
Yeah, and if these transfers, if they can help that defense, well, maybe we can be adequate. We could scope we're adequate on defense. Man, I'm asking for much. You're not.
He's not asking for much, Bear. In honor the late, great Dusty Hill. He's just looking for somebody who can beat Georgia.
We got no.
Philly,
we got to beat Vanderbilt in South Carolina because we're sure as hell ain't going to beat Georgia.
Philly, did you ever get to see ZZ Top back in the day?
No, I haven't. But I hate that the guy passed away and, you know, so it's the way it is. We're all getting older and, you know, all the great generations of music is going to be with us pretty soon.
I was watching them on YouTube last night, Bear, the old gray whistle test. Circa 1980. Just got paid today. Oh, melt your face off. Fantastic.
So, Russell, what are you going to do when you want to rip Catholic football, but what are you going to do when Catholic comes over there to the West in basketball rolls them about 30 over there in that old crummy gym y'all got.
I don't know. I'm probably going to process it like an adult and express the most minor of disappointment and then move on with my life. It's what we do, Phil. It's okay. It's high school basketball. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about it.
Well, you're the one that does all the ripping.
I'm the one that does all the ripping.
Yeah. You defend St. Maryville's don't do anything wrong over there. I mean, let's get real.
Russ the Ripper.
You guys are – that's pretty good.
You see, they haven't done nothing in, what, 40 years? I mean, they don't even have a coach when they won championships now. He's somewhere else. Pretty cool, you know?
You guys are just sore because you know the Red Rebels are going to come into the Butch Bowl tomorrow and just whip your little fannies all over the field. There's nothing you can do about it. The altar boys, bitching a fit.
Yeah, and all them players that come from CAK to Tennessee were worth wasted scholarships, like I said 10 years ago. See?
I mean, the last time that Catholic scrimmaged Maryville and
Houston, I don't know why CAK has to be drug into this.
Look, it's the only time they won anything was when they were dodging us. Question is, are we going to broadcast live from Catholic High School in January when the Spartans come rolling in, Russ?
I think we ought to go live tomorrow. The Drive.
I'm still not cleared to be out.
Live from the Butch Bowl.
I'll do color commentary.
Oh, my God. Maryville's left tackle.
Storm and Blaine Stadium, you jackass.
Maryville's left tackle.
You won't do anything, Miller. Just go up and cover Campbell County.
I don't want to go watch that trash. There's a reason I don't go up there and watch it.
You're going to pound 30. Your eyes shut tomorrow. Your eyes are going to be blacker than a nun's habit.
Watch yourself, Smith. Watch yourself. You don't want to get sideways with the Penguins, my friend. Trust me on that one. No.
When does high school football kick off again?
Should be coming up here in about...
Where's the Pope been?
2 weeks.
I mean, where's he been? Vatican City.
Imagine he's pretty happy about the goings-on at Catholic's basketball program.
Who is the Pope now? Is it still that the guy? Younger guy?
Nah, it's...
We had a new one, don't we?
Yeah, we got a new one. He's in the hospital right now. He had some kind of crazy surgery or something.
Oh, man. Hope he's doing okay.
Yeah. I went down a rabbit hole the other night on YouTube on the Vatican archives. I'd love to get in there and see what all they got.
What?
You ever heard about the Vatican secret archives?
No.
Go down that YouTube rabbit hole. It's crazy what people think are down there.
Oh, yeah? Just like all the sacred texts of your?
That and like supposedly they have a piece of the cross that Jesus was crucified on. Just all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of crazy theories about what's in there. The actual third prediction, or what's it called? The Fatima. You know, the kids that saw the Virgin Mary. Two of them were completely accurate.
Do what?
Look up Fatima.
Yeah, but how do you know that they were accurate?
Because the first two they read and they released after the events took place. One of them was World War II. I mean, they predicted it down to the T.
Really?
I can't remember what the first one was. Yeah, it was really. It'll send chills down your spine.
They predicted World War II from how long ago?
It was. I can't remember.
Like
the
during
exact
the time
year.
Of Jesus?
No. Huh? It was in the 20th century, but it was years and years before it actually happened. So
like sometime.
But so did Nostradamus.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're just, it was all vague stuff. He never got specific. You don't believe in any of that stuff, do you?
A little bit. I'm a little you know, I'm superstitious about stuff.
He's not superstitious, but he is a little stitious.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be a clown.
So you believe in people who could see into the future?
Not people that could see into the future, but I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the Virgin Mary hadn't visited some people. Do you believe the devil is real?
Let's not get into this.
And you're a little scared, aren't you?
Yeah, I just don't want to deal with there's no right answer to that question, right? Somebody's going to call
the devil
and get all mad. My
friend of the devil?
Afraid friend of the devil or friend of the devil? I'm not afraid. Or I'm not a friend. No. Who wants to be friends with the devil? Doesn't seem like a very nice guy, what with all the burning and screaming and anguish and whatnot.
I mean, it's an excellent Grateful Dead song.
So, yeah, R.I.P. Dusty Hill. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Attention homeowners. David on Twitter says, can't wait to see Powell hang a 50 burger on Catholic in a few weeks. Yum, yum. Y'all playing Powell this year?
I have no idea.
You all are playing at Powell.
Oh, man. If it were at the Butch Bowl, I'd say you have a chance.
If it were at the Butch Bowl, I'd say you had a chance.
You're going to the jungle, though.
We got some breaking news.
You're going to the jungle, though. This better be good, Bear. Hold on.
I got you, Russ.
All right. Just didn't want to talk. Didn't want to hear me ripping Catholic anymore.
Shut your hole. It's coming from WAT Sports. Powell's Sudden Service announces a partnership deal with Tennessee basketball player John Fulkerson.
2 days in a row, y'all dipped into my top five.
Good for him. I think we all saw that coming. It's a natural partnership. I hope he's making a little cash and all the pals he can eat, because Folky needs to put on some weight still. Got to bulk up, Folky. You've been here like 18 years. And my man still looking like, he needs a sandwich over there or something. I mean, Folky, come on, can we get my man a protein shake, something?
I wonder if he's got that brittle bone disease. He's like Mr. Glass off that movie Unbreakable.
Oh, this isn't nice. Man, I hope he's okay, man. I hope he comes back strong. I hope we get to see.
When he's on, he's one of the best players in the SEC.
Get to see what we saw the last 10 games or so of his junior season for a full season. If he does that, there's no limits to what this team can achieve.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely the team leader.
What about Powell's in Knoxville? Any word on that?
I don't know. The dude that owned it died, didn't he? He never wanted to have one here.
Why?
I don't know.
Doesn't like making money?
Yeah, I have no idea. I do know that, you know, the people that like Pals are almost like, you know, a cult.
Oh, they're fanatical.
Last time I trashed them on air, my favorite niece, she lit up my text box.
I've never trashed them, but people, I just express my opinion that it's a little overrated, and people just kill me every time. I mean, it's good. I would go again. The next time I'm up that way, if I'm hungry, I'll make it a shot to I'll be sure to go through there and get some pals. Like, it's okay. It's not great, man. It's
kind of like how I get ripped over In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger is very similar. Way overrated.
It's a Big Mac with a tomato on it.
It's a little bitter than a Big Mac.
I've never had it. I've talked to people that have had it. And they've never given me a proper explanation of what makes it so good.
But In-N-Out, Powell's, it is not on par with, like, Five Guys.
I'll disagree with you there. I don't like Five Guys.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Did that make the list?
Does it? Who doesn't like Five Guys, man?
Fresh potatoes.
I was sicker going through chemo. I was sicker off Five Guys than I was through four rounds of what I can only describe as intense chemotherapy.
No, stop.
No, seriously, I was. It put me in bed for like 36 hours.
I mean, that was a freak occurrence, right? That's the only time anybody's ever heard of that happening.
Every time I eat Five Guys, I feel sick, and it's just a disgusting feeling.
Yeah, but it tastes good going down, don't it?
Not really.
All right.
A lot better burgers at Wendy's.
People want to hear the list. We will read the list in hour number three. First, though, we got to get back to these phones. Jamie is up next. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the Drive, Fan Run Radio.
Used to live up in the Tri-Cities area. Powell's is awful. They've got really good tea, though. Yeah, their tea is really good.
I'll second you on the tea.
I'll tell you what. It is. I'll give it this. I'll kind of put it in the category of a Crystals. It's like, you know, sometimes you'll crave it about every year and a half and just have to have it. It is good going Crystal. Down, but it's awful coming up. Five Guys, their burgers, in my opinion, this is probably not a popular take. I love the burgers, but the fries are just plain Jane to me. Everybody raves about the fries.
Terrible take.
They just seem plain.
They never have.
Oh, really?
You got to get some ketchup on them. They got that peanut oil flavor to them. They're delicious.
Let's see. If they had a TV or two in there, I'd definitely go down there and watch a little collage football or something, or a little NFL on an afternoon. But it's just boring as sin in there. But having lived in Atlanta, guys, y'all always talking about high school football. And, I lived here, and then I lived in Atlanta for a few years and came back up here. And, man, it's like the strip clubs. It's like, yeah, these up here suck. I mean, it's the football here, it just ain't like – they're playing Division II college football down in Atlanta. It's sick. Those guys, you could look on the field, whoever's playing who – there's 8 guys, 9 guys, 10 guys got Division I scholarship offers. It almost looks like, around here you get a lot of handoffs, and you see real live wide open offenses down there, and different schemes on defense. So anyway,
East Tennessee high school football and Tennessee high school football in general has changed a lot. It has evolved quickly over the last 20 years or so. Because you're right, like in the 90s when I was in high school, I mean, nobody threw the ball. Everybody was, you threw maybe 10 passes a game. Probably not, right? I mean, it's just all running the veer. It's, basically the single wing offense. And now pretty much everybody throws it. Pretty much everybody's in the gun. And you see a lot of wide open offenses now. And obviously, you're right, the talent level. Here is not what it is in the Atlanta area or other bigger places in Georgia, but I feel like the game is progressing quickly.
Well, back in the 90s, we probably count on one hand the number of D1 players that came out of Knoxville.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Pennington over at Webb.
And Cozart,
I start drawing a blank after him. I mean, I guess
Cozart, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to make a motion that Jamie's caller name should be changed to Papaw.
Papaw Jamie.
I appreciate that. I'll take it.
How's that baby doing, Jamie?
Oh, man. It's like turning over another chapter in your life. You graduate high school. That's one. You have your first kid. That's two. Having a grandkid, it makes it easier. It's made it easier on me, except in the fact that I'm getting fat and bald. That's okay. It's okay when you're a papaw. I'm kind of embracing it. Going to go get me some overalls, some red man, and get into character. What's that?
Is it softening you up? We're going to see a softer, kinder Jamie from now on.
You might. I wouldn't guarantee it, Bear, but we'll see. I am who I am. I don't know. We'll see.
Check in about halfway through the Florida game when we're a couple touchdowns down and the announcers are making wisecracks about, looks like Tennessee is still a long way away. Then, JB, we'll see how much kinder and gentler he is at that point.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. I usually give first year coaches, you know, a pass against Florida. That's quite the test, but we'll see. We'll see. Guys, I know we're up against the top of the hour. I'm more worried about this whole, everybody says Texas and Oklahoma is making the profitable move going to the SEC, but I still kind of get worried because I don't know if interest is going to be what it was after a few years, you know, nobody really being at, you know, 4 and 5 losses teams where they would be, you know, 2 and 3 loss teams. Yeah. Y'all got some work to do on convincing me. I just hope that the interest is there.
All right, we'll take a crack at it coming up here in hour number 2. Got to run, Jamie. Thank you
there.
For the Thanks, phone guys. Call. Hour number 3, actually, of The Drive coming up next year on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, it's Russell Smith here for Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Y'all got to go check out